Welcome everyone, this is Roshan Cikovac Mihai and it's the Folk Talk podcast from iDance Hungary, the platform dedicated to the non-Hungarian speakers of the Dance House movement, brought to you by Friends of Hungary Foundation. And today I have the pleasure for not having to apologize for the first time for the quality of the sound, because I have the honor to host guest from Hungary, Józsa Tamás. Welcome, Tamás.
Hi, Mishé. Pleasure to be here.
And the apropos of this talk is that, Tamás has many merits, but we just recently launched a series of articles on the website idancehungary.hu about the archives, how to use the dance archives, how to digest them, and how to reap its benefits and make our dances more enjoyable for ourselves and also the others. So I asked Tamás to put together such a series, and in this discussion I'd like to ask him mostly about his experience with his field work and why it is important also to amateur dancers to deal with the archives. So first of all, let me give you a brief introduction about Tamás, who's a dance teacher. For how many years?
Okay, well, I started when I was seven, so 30 years. 30 I've been a dancer, yeah. And 20 years I've been teaching.
Yes, and you started your career in Debrecen.
Yes, I'm from Debrecen.
This is a coincidence that we just published an interview with Kristina, who moved to Chile, and she also started in Hajdúság. Have you met each other?
Kristina?
Tar Kristina. Do you know her?
I do know her, but is she a folk dancer?
Yes. She is the leader of the Duna Táncegyüttes, the most recent dance group founded in South America. So I guess in Hajdúság and in Debrecen and that region, there is a big sense of mission, because if I look at your activity, I besides that you are very, very meticulous in terms of the professional work and what you put on the stage, one can feel a big devotion and a sense of mission handing over to the next generation not only the beauty, but also the responsibility that comes with dealing with the dances.
Well, Debrecen was certainly a very good starting point because my former ensemble, the Hajdú Táncegyüttes, was established in 1958. So it had a very long history, a lot of traditions, a lot of background, a lot of knowledge. So starting there really gave me the push to start up in this career. And I also started to teach there when I was 17. They gave me the opportunity, and it was just a great place to start from, and it is still a great place for basically any dancer to start dancing in Debrecen. So yeah, that was a fundamental thing in my life. To dance in Hajdú, and also to teach in Hajdú. Many of my students actually started off in there, and they also became dancers.
Before we move to the archives, you also majored in dance pedagogy in the Táncművészeti Főiskola.
Yes, that's true.
I know that you have a very conscious ars poetica as to the different layers that dance can give to the individual, out of which the first is the level of how to achieve a correct posture, how dance contributes to a healthy lifestyle. What can you say about the positive effects of being a dancer, completely independent of the values and heritage and just the dance itself and the body?
Well, first of all, it's physical activity, so it's healthy. That's in the first place. What I mostly appreciate and what I mostly like to emphasize as to the benefits of dancing is that it's as much a physical activity as a mental activity. So it's not just lifting weights, but it's also, you know, working your mind at the same time. So it's a beautiful thing how it works your entire personality. And as for folk dance, you have to know rules. I mean the tradition. What I most love about it is it's really, really, really complex. And then there comes the music, and then there comes, you know, all the background knowledge that you have to know for that, and then there comes all the knowledge that you have to know about the original dancers that you're learning the material from, and you have to know the archive films, the dance recordings that you have to know for that, and then there comes the technical training before you start doing the whole thing, and also the technical training is a step by step thing. So, yeah, it's very complex.
Nowadays, in different physical activities, they emphasize the need of the mind-body connection that is healthy both for body and the mind. So I guess
holistic. Yeah, we could say holistic.
And you already mentioned the archives that you have to know. Why is it important? I guess if you are an amateur dancer, you certainly can have very valuable entertaining without knowing the archives. You just go to the dance house and follow someone, and I think that's completely fine. But for those who want to immerse better into the dances, it certainly gives another dimension of pleasure too.
Yeah, you mentioned dimension, so it's just better comprehension. You know, to know the background of the activity, what you're doing, what you're dealing with. I mean, if you do yoga, probably if you go to India and practice yoga in India from someone who's actually master of it, and to see it in its place, in its birthplace, where it's coming from, it probably gives you not just a better understanding, but also an extra emotion and an extra something that makes you, as you said, immerse in it even more. So in our case, what we can do is because as much as we would like to think that this is a thing that's living, it's actually dying. In its birthplace.
Yes, yes.
We're trying to keep it alive.
Yes, those community and that ambience that was fundamental, it is basically extinct.
Exactly, that community in which it functioned is no longer in existence, in my opinion. Well, there are initiatives to keep it alive. Not just us, but I mean, in the villages, which is awesome. It's great. But basically, we're keeping it alive. I think it was Rabai Miklós who said that what's going to save the folk culture, like the traditional culture, is going to be the stage. And he was kind of right, because it started like that. So, you know, he did his field work, and then he adapted it to stage. That was a different kind of adaptation. But he did field work. He knew exactly what he was recording. And then there came the dance house movement, et cetera, et cetera. We don't want to get into the details.
He didn't know that dance house movement would come.
Yeah. But now we're doing that, and we're doing a tremendous job in keeping this tradition alive. And I think that we haven't been this close to knowing that much about the archives, about the films, about the source that we are dealing with. So this is a good thing. We're keeping it alive, but also, unfortunately, the birthplace of it is it's kind of dying. So yes, that's a lot of pressure on us, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of responsibility. And going back to your question, this is why we have to deal with these archives, these sources, very carefully, mm-hmm, and responsibly.
Can we take an example, like not just theoretically mentioning that the place and the background, just name a dance and please shed a light to how it works, that the surrounding influence the dances or the people or this connection between the need of knowing the people and the culture and the geography, maybe.
Well, I have one example, like one personal experience, and that was in Bálványostoba.
Where is it?
It's in Mezőség, mm-hmm, not far from Samosújvár, mm-hmm, in Romania. It's Gerla. It's a Romanian village. But it doesn't really matter because, you know, when we talk about folk dance, we're talking about the entire Carpathian Basin. And I'd like to emphasize that it's one dance dialect and it has its intercultural relations. So to me, Romanian dances, Slovak dances, etc., mean just as much as Hungarian dances. But I mentioned Bálványostoba because that's the place where I went for an entire week and then another weekend to... Actually, it was a boot camp for one of our dance groups. We were 60 in that boot camp, so we almost outnumbered the population of the village. It's a beautiful place. It's absolutely off the beaten track. It's like the last village on the road. And it's marvelous how they still keep their tradition alive. Actually, they didn't just keep it alive, they just live in it. So we went there and we spent an entire week there, and we had so many chances to dance with the people who live there. And for an entire week, that was the closest to me to get to that community. It was like a time travel. Mm-hmm. It was like going back in time, you know, like 100 years. And before we went there, I knew the dance. I had known the dances. I had learned the dances. I had seen the recordings. I had analyzed the recordings. Basically, absolutely, that you need to learn the dance, and then you go there, and then you meet the people that you saw on the recordings, and then you talk to them, even though you don't speak Romanian and you know they don't speak Hungarian. But
although Tamás speaks like 5 or 6 languages, I don't know, so not yet Romanian, I guess.
Not yet Romanian. Yeah, 5. I speak Italian now, so that kind of helps. So
possiamo continuare in italiano, but for now it's an English site.
Sì, potremmo, ma. Yeah. So so that was very exceptional that you do have the recordings. You learn everything from the recordings and then you go there. You have the possibility to go there, not only to go there, but also to dance with the people you saw in the recordings. And that is amazing. That is exceptional. And, you know, just dancing just one dance with that lady that you saw in the recording, she gives you notes, by the way. She does. She gave me notes.
Really?
Yeah. She told me, chill, relax. You should dance, you know, more in a more relaxed way. I'm like, okay. So that's like, I don't know how many hours of rehearsal and practice just to dance that 50-minute. Well, no, like 40, 45, 50 minutes with a woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my experience, like my closest experience mm-hmm, as to that tradition. But it started with analyzing the recordings and learning from someone like Funda Kristóf, who's also master of this dance, and then go there and then see the village, see the dancers, and then not only see the dancers but dance with them.
Yes.
But that I'm extremely lucky that yes. I could do that. You know, in most cases you can do that.
Yes, fortunately, with the dance camps, it is a possibility, even if not to spend 10 days, for basically almost anyone to go to a summer camp. And then often the programmers will bring some old dance masters. Of course, it's not the same, but it's possible. But of course, also for our listeners, for most of the time, it's just the archives and the recordings that are there. So what would you suggest? How should one start to approach the recordings? If someone who only attended dance groups or dance houses and now he says, okay, I see it could give me some additional beauty to what I do, where they should start their journey and how?
Well, they should start a journey with our next article, because that is going to be about how to choose from all that's given, all that's being collected, because you need to have you need to filter. Not everything that is recorded is worth using. If I may put it like...
I know that you wrote it, but for those who didn't read it or won't read it, which are the most important digital archives that are accessible for anyone?
Yeah, sure. So the first article was about the archive of the Institute of Musicology, Zenetudományi Intézet.
ZTI.hu, I guess.
ZTI.hu, yes. And then... they have several databases. One is called Néptánc Tudástár, so like folk dance Tudástár, knowledge base, I think. So that's one. It's amazing. They have they've expanded their online presence so much. And the other one is the database, the archive of the Hungarian Heritage House.
Yeah, the Folkloradatbázis.
Folkloradatbázis, yes, exactly. And I mentioned it in my article that it's great that these two archive databases complement each other. Well, not just the archive part, well, not just the online parts, but basically the databases, they complement each other. So... whenever I go online to look for information, I check both.
Yeah, let us underline that this is really a paradise. I mean, in comparison with two decades ago, I guess that a couple of minutes of these materials were just copied in VHS format. So it's really a couple of clicks away from anyone to have the possibility to immerse really into these archives. And now we move to the filtering part. So there is this immense data and how you filter.
Yeah, and what you do first is that you watch everything. You go through all the recordings, all the films. You just watch it. And then... I think it's just a natural thing to spot those dancers and then those films, like those parts in which you see that, okay, that's a great dancer.
Before choosing a person, I guess one should start with their favorite dance, I guess. So if you love Kalotaszegi dances, just go for the villages of Kalotaszeg or Kalotaszegi. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. In both of these archives, you can search for a dance dialect. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if you know the village, you can search by the village, and that's how I usually start, because when we teach something nowadays, we don't just look at a dialect. We usually teach the dance of a certain village. So that's the first filter, probably, to search for the village. And then you start going through all the material. And we're in a very lucky position in the case of these online archives, because they've already filtered, selected the scenes or the recordings for us that are worth watching, worth learning from.
So it's really pre-digested, like.
It is very pre-digested, and then they provide you with all the information that you need, like who the dancers that you're looking at when it was recorded. In some of the cases, it comes with music. In some of the cases, it's just a silent movie. And now there's a new initiative that I applaud big time, is that they synchronize the recordings. They synchronize the film with the music, because unfortunately, back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, these field workers like Martin György, András Falvi Berton, etc., etc., I don't want to start listing names, unfortunately, they just didn't have the money for technology. You know, at the same time in Hollywood, everybody was filming movies in color, whereas now they were filming with a Super 8 camera without sound, so they had to record the sound separately. And now there's an initiative to synchronize these recordings, which is great.
Yeah, but to show the genuinity genuineness, how you say it, of Martin. If you look at those archives, sometimes you see his hand going or crossing the camera, and it was to show where the melody starts.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he
yeah.
had already in mind that someday there would be a technique that yes. they will. Obviously, it helped also the dancers back then to see where the melody starts.
Well, he was remarkable. I mean, a lot of the times I even put it in my journal. I'm like eternally thankful and grateful for these people to have done this tremendous work. So yeah, you're lucky because these films in these archives are like pre-selected for you. All of them have undergone, you know, like scientific filtering, let's put it that way. So then you have all these movies, archive recordings, these films, and then what you do is just you start watching them, and then even in these pre-selected recordings, I think it's just inevitable to spot those dancers mm-hmm. That are worth watching, mm-hmm. because in every village, you know, everybody was able to dance. Everybody actually had to be able to dance. It was a given, but not everybody was on the same level.
Yes,
and it's very interesting to spot out those exceptional dancers. So I guess you start with them, because that's where your eye goes, and then. Well, in my experience, it's just, I would say it's just like hours of watching and watching and watching and watching. But actually,
and enjoying, no? So
and that's a very good point, and enjoying. So the first step is watching and enjoying, but actually not for hours, but like for days. It's like digesting any kind of information, like digesting a book or a movie, anything. So you just take it in, and then you start to put a picture together in your head before you start breaking it down to sequences and steps and et cetera, et cetera. So also it's like very subjective. It's a very personal thing. Like not everybody thinks the same thing about a dance recording when they look at it. So it's up for, I would say, debate.
Yes, and then for those who do not plan to do anything with these dances on stage, because I think it's also important to underline that it is worth doing and very much beneficial for those who just want to improve their dances and then use it in dance houses.
Oh yes, absolutely. I wasn't even mentioning stage. No.
So it's really for everyone just to have a better time in dance houses. Because if you know it better, you enjoy it better.
You know, it's like if you want to look at a painting, like you want to look at a painting of Monet. You know, you can look at replicas, or you can look at like paint by number replicas. But no, you want to go there, and actually, you want to see it in a museum. You want to see it up front. It's like when I went to Moscow and I went to the Hermitage and I saw Picasso painting the first time in my life in live, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a completely different experience. So yeah, it's not for stage. It is, I mean, obviously we adapt it for stage as well, but basically it's just a vital part, like an organic part of the learning process. But thankfully, we have like guides. I mean, teachers, yes, obviously, who are masters of it, and we can learn from them. I mean, through their knowledge, through their experience, you can approach that too. So, I'm a teacher. I have students. I have very young students too. And whenever I teach something, I also provide them with the information of the original material too. And I tell them that what we do here is, I mean, I try to do it like really responsibly, and like I really do the legwork and all that is needed to convey a certain material to the dancers authentically. But I always tell them to, okay, go look at the material. Now you do it.
And I imagine that these teachers, such as you, can help. Which are the parts or the persons worth looking at? Which are what to focus on? Which movement? So this doesn't mean that with these archives there would be no need for teachers. Au contraire, but it's. The holistic approach is complemented if you also have an access to the direct material.
Yes, exactly. You need guidance. You absolutely need guidance.
As everywhere in life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So actually learning from these archive recordings is not easy. It takes time. It takes years and years of experience to be able to do that. It also needs a very good video player, in which you know you can slow down the film, the recording, to be able to, you know, to see the steps, the positions, etc., etc. So it's a very painstaking, meticulous work, really, but. When I teach a dance to my students, I've already pre-selected those materials for them. They already know the steps, and this is an extra, you know, for them. But it's like, you know, to double check, and sometimes they come back to me and say, oh, maybe that is not exactly like what you said. And I'm like, okay, let's watch it together. So as I said, it's like up for debate. And that's the beauty of it. You know, you don't have to be right. No one has to be right, you know. It's then we start analyzing it together, and then we start together a picture in our minds together, and that's how it should be done. It's not one person's. It's not one person's work.
I guess,
a group effort.
Yes, I guess many people would say that. Okay, but dance is about freedom and et cetera, et cetera. And this is my personality, but you can adapt to your own personality something that you already know. So it doesn't mean that you have to follow 100%. You can, and it's beautiful. But without knowing actually what to adapt to yourself, it's not possible to adapt, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing because, well, you can't do what you see on the recording 100% because you have a different body. So it starts with physics. It's just, you're just not that person. Your legs are not that long or that short, etc., etc. So it just can't be the same thing. And actually, the goal is not for your dance not to be the same thing. So in my opinion, it is very important. Actually, you just can't miss it out in your learning process. But it's not the destination. To imitate, to copy. But in my experience and in my opinion, you have to copy at a certain stage of it. So you get the material, you start looking at it, you start filtering, then you start analyzing it, then you start learning it, and you start copying it, but by the time you get to the copying phase, you already have a full picture of, maybe not a full picture, but a good picture of the dance that you're learning. And then you start copying it, and you copy. That's a very long process. But then it also supports your comprehension of the material. And then you get to a point where you like, I would really love to say that you really know the material, but I'm always afraid to say that because it's just such a high level of knowledge. But let's just say that you really know the material and then you let it go. Mm-hmm. But that takes time.
Yes.
So in my opinion, do the work. Like really hard work, and then you let it go. And that's what the dance house is for.
Yes.
So stage, yeah, it's great. I love stage too. Competitions, not so much. I mean, I don't like competitions so much, but I've been competing. I've been taking part in this in these competitions, like solo dance competitions my whole life. Not a point of this whole movement, though. I'd like to underline that. But in dance houses, and then so you just let it go. And that's the best part. And then, you know, it, like by that time, the material is like so much in your veins. It's like in your DNA, I'd like to say. Mm-hmm. That if you've learned it, you know, you just can be out of style.
Yes.
Off style, let's put it that way, like off style.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you do have to have that kind of knowledge.
Yes.
So you cannot start reinventing something without knowing it.
Without nothing, yes.
So copying, in my opinion, is it's not the end product. It's part of the process. And the end product is recreating it in a creative way, but having analyzed it.
Yes, and basically then you already internalize the rules, and then your recreation will respect automatically the rules of the certain dialect or dance.
Well, absolutely, and everything else that you can know about it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, that's how I put it in my article, and like whatever you find, handle it responsibly and with care and with respect, first of all, because someone had to put in, well, someone's had to put in a lot of hours of work to collect it, to analyze it, to systemize it, to analyze it, etc., etc. So you can just go into a grocery store, like into a store, and buy an archive recording. These are like artifacts. So.
And we Hungarians are very indulged with respect to other nations and culture. So we are really lucky with this database. And I think that we really I hope that with this discussion we encouraged everyone to pluck up courage and go for the archives. But before we end this discussion, I know that you have personal experiences with the Global Dance House movement. You taught in Canada, Germany, and Switzerland. So just a brief question about your experience about the role of the dances in the diaspora. What you see? I know that you were also scholar. You also were scholarship owner of Kuroshi Chomashando program.
No, that hadn't been in place when I went to Canada or.
Yeah, because actually, I as far as I know, today Kuroshi Chomashando program is already a semi dance program, because I guess every second person is a dance teacher. But originally,
which is a great thing.
it is a great thing. But as far as I know, it originally was not made to be a dance scholarship. It was about reaching out to the diaspora, and then the local communities were asking for send us a dance teacher.
Because there are so many dance groups.
Yes.
Outside of Hungary.
And it also shows that this dance is really the, I guess, and Dance House, I would say that that this is the most efficient way of preserving Hungarian identity, because you don't have to learn necessarily the language, and you can have, as we said, a healthy way of entertainment, and at the same time be surrounded with Hungarian culture.
Yeah, that's true. And it was such a great way to channel, if I can put it that way, to channel fresh energy and knowledge and information into the dance groups outside of Hungary. By, and I say this in quotations, by exporting these dance teachers Hungarian communities abroad, because everything that we do here, just what I mentioned, is evolving. It shows a progress, and then they take their knowledge outside of Hungary, and then they become, participants.
Yes.
Of the same thing, of the same process that is happening here. So it also, like, I would say, like, upgrades activity. So that's a great thing. And also what's a great thing is that there's so many dance groups outside of Hungary, and not just in Hungarian communities. I'd like to underscore that. So not just in Hungarian communities. And I applaud that big time, because it's amazing, and it's amazing how enthusiastic they are about it, and how eager they are to learn. And learning is a key thing, you know. Like, you have to learn your entire life, and you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper and look for new things and new as many teachers as you have, as many angles as you have. it also everything adds to your knowledge. So I love to learn. So I like to underline that the entire time that it's never enough. You just have to keep learning and digging and discussing and debating and analyzing, et cetera, until you go to a dance house where you have to forget all about that and just enjoy yourself and enjoy what you learned.
I think that's a perfect final word. Józsa Tamás, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for the series of articles that we launched. And we encourage everyone to follow this series, because so far Tamás has introduced us to the most important database, and our plan is to help step by step with example our readers to develop an own methodology of how to proceed with the archives.
Thank you, and I'm really happy to be in the program.